Fun fact, when we first started, I tried to insist that we include, with all the information like how to start sex toys, how to clean them, such like, a little slip that says, "Now have fun and go fuck yourself." But apparently that wasn't great public relations.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Welcome to the Trisexuals Podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Well, Sexplorers, we're happy to be back with another episode. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong,
it's our 40th!
This is our 40th episode.
Holy shit!
Our podcast is middle age, right? Or is middle age 35? I don't even know.
Middle age is
over
like...
Over the hill.
Over the hill's 50, honey.
Oh, well, what's 40? Lordy, lordy, look who's 40?
Get out.
Get out. Well, anyway, we have some special guests that we're going to introduce in a bit. But first, let's talk about what we've been playing with. Kit, why don't you tell us what you've been putting in your holes?
Ooh, well, I've got some fun stuff here. So this toy is from Kitsune Comforts, which is an up-and-coming toy company, and they have the most like awesome creative ideas. So the toy I have here, I've decided to dub it the Cream Pie Canine. It's really different than anything I've seen. Now, the shaft is just a really nicely shaped canine, big knot, you know, really nicely shaped head. When you flip the base over, it was designed to be a feral penetrable. Now, this particular one, the mold is getting some redos, so it's sort of been filled in with like white silicone. And so it looks like it's been cream pied, and it is the coolest base. Like, it is one of my very favorites that I've ever seen. And it stands
cool.
up on its own, too.
I just said it looks really cool. There is one thing. Looking at it, I can't not see like a donut glaze on it, and I just want to take a
bite.
Oh
my god,
out of it.
You're right. I'm hungry.
It does look like a donut glaze. I know an equine toy with the same kind of idea would be amazing too. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, a donut or something as a base. So it's really creative, and I think we're going to see some more creative ideas like this, because this particular company likes to do very cautious custom colors, but custom from the bottom up, based on like your fursuit, you know, that's what they do. A lot of companies will make you something custom from the scratch if you ask, but these guys, like, this is what they focus on. So yeah, it's actually a pretty special thing, and I can't wait to see what they come out with when they actually make this a penetrable. So it's a penetrable, but it's also a dildo. Really creative, going to be really cool. So that is something, yeah, really fun. I have loved. Plus, it's a really pretty shape. So I have the one of a kind, but there will be more and even more improved ones coming on the way, and that's going to be super exciting. Other thing I wanted to talk about, a while back, I mentioned for the Dildo Gangbang that Reximosaurus had kindly sent me some life casts for that, and that was really great. And he had gone all out. Instead of getting the Clonawilly kit, he has all of the equipment to pour toys, and it, like, you know, actually cast and poured them the way you would a commercial toy. And I looked at these and I said, these are really high quality. And he's like, wow, you know, gosh, maybe it would be fun to actually get into making these. And I totally encouraged this, because these were a really good quality and really beautiful color.
Wait, so he hadn't done pouring before?
He what's that?
He hadn't done pouring before he had made that toy for you?
I guess he's done things, like he's done other things. He's never made sex toys, but he's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really, really interesting. He's clearly got the maker skills to do all of this. And I don't know his entire background for it, but I talked to him, like he uses, you know, all the same materials these makers would do. And so anyway, I'm like, you should try making something. And he's like, you know, I really have always wanted to do a tentacle plug. And, but he's like, you know, gosh, I you know, I guess I had to give it a try. And so he got on a sculpting program and he sculpted one out and poured it and sent it to me. And it's really awesome. Like, it is a big fat plug. It is huge. I'm still working on the girth because it's gigantic, but it's pretty awesome. I don't have any other tentacle plug like this. And he's got a lot of other really creative designs in the works. And so this is going to be a really exciting up and coming company. The other thing he sent, you know, I don't know if you'd want this, but would you be interested in the life casting of my balls too? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So he sent those along, and like, this is the most soft, stretchy silicone. It's one of the most soft ones I've encountered. I'm not sure exactly what he used or what is so different. But they poured really well. Like, this has become my favorite desk squishy. In fact, I'm squishing it right now. I've got you by the balls, Reximosaurus. But no, they actually turned out surprisingly stretchy and well, and, you know, of course, beautifully detailed. So they're really cool. It's like an awesome set to go with the action. I'm pretty excited. I think I can actually do some shibari ties and with it, because they just turned out so well. So he's very skilled, and he's going to be doing some great stuff in the future. And I'm excited to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And we've gotten a chance to talk to him, and actually the owner of Kitsune Comforts, they hang out in our chat, and they're really cool people.
Yeah, both of these makers are in our chat, and they are both really fun to talk to. So you should totally, totally check them out, Sexplorers. If you're new to the chat, or if you're not in the chat, get there for sure, because the chat is a fun place to be.
Chat.trisexualsmedia.com.
Yes.
We'll see you there. Lily and I don't really have anything proper to share for what's playing.
But we do have stickers!
We did actually get a bunch of stickers printed for our podcast. Now, these aren't things we're going to be shipping out or sending out or anything like that. Unless maybe you do something to impress me, but let's not get into that.
Impress me much.
Yeah. Anyway, we kind of technically play with them because we did take a nice sexy picture of Lily naked with some of the stickers over her naughty bits, so... that's about the closest thing we have for a sex toy. I promise you we'll be playing with something for the next episode. All right, so I think it's just about time to get to our interview. But first, I want to let you know that there's a new nano review from the queen mother of the Trisexuals Review harem, Subby Shiera. And she has done a review of the Asmodeus toy by Casket Creations. Links will be in the show notes, so definitely check that out.
Excellent. So let's get on to our interview in those sexy, amazing... creators and their amazing accents. And Lily. I can't think, because all I can think about is their accents.
Clean up aisle 5. Welcome back, Sexplorers, and today we have a first for the Trisexuals podcast. It is a double interview. That's right, we have two guests
Holy shit!
It's kind of like a foursome, though we're fucking each other with sounds instead of... Well, never mind. Let's abandon that thread. Anyway, we have... today we are joined by Akita and Fuzzy from Akifu Toys. How you guys doing?
Hello. We're doing fairly well.
It's so nice of you to have us on the podcast. We're doing pretty fine. Yes, thank you.
Oh, glad to hear. I have to say, this is probably the sexiest accents we've had on the show.
Oh my god, you have no idea. I will have to say, Doc Wolverine, you have some competition right now.
Well, see, Doc Wolverine has a nice, sexy, velvety voice, but yeah. You know, these are accents. You know,
I know accents are just like, oh fuck yes.
Now imagine if Doc Wolverine was from Germany or England, then he'd have like a...
Yeah. Oh.
Perfect, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And those happen to be Lily's favorite accents, as it turns out.
Yeah,
but I think
English
accent is a little bit higher on the list, if I'm...
Well, they're kind of even. Between British and German, I'm an accent lover. I love people speaking accents. It just gives me shivers down my spine.
Well, I actually never had anyone telling me that my accent would be sexy, but thank you all the same.
Oh god. I hear it all the time. German accents, very sexy.
Oh my god, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Germans,
there's
German,
a certain there's a sense of like domination and like authority that comes with the German accent.
Yeah.
Come on, please, you're just projecting my personality on my accent.
I'm not denying anything.
Yeah, but it's like if you've ever seen the movie Love Actually, where the guys from Britain come to England or come to America because of the accent.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? It was Colin. It was like, Colin. And I have a big knob.
Well, indubitably good chap.
Oh, say that again.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
Indubitably.
Anyway, so on our podcast, we always like to ask our guests, what is your favorite dessert?
Aki, do you want to handle this first?
Yeah, sure. I can handle this. It's actually I'm a little bit on the fence here. It's either my homemade ice cream or my homemade mousse au chocolat.
I don't know what that second one is.
Chocolate mousse.
Oh,
I'm lactose intolerant, so I tend to stuff myself because buying lactose free desserts is usually quite expensive and the stuff is never really good. So I like to bought myself an ice cream maker and I've ventured into the world of making ice cream and it's turning out really nice.
So do you make
you use like soy milk or something, or do you use like coconut milk or different kinds?
Oh, no. I'm just using lactose-free cow's milk.
Lactose-free cow's milk. Okay.
So what you're saying is that you're super fancy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. It's not fancy at all.
I don't know. That might be the fanciest answer we've heard here.
Especially considering the second answer you said was mousse de chocolat. I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so my American brain just like broke down. I'm like, what? Chocolat?
No. You can't French. Describe your favorite dessert as like in French and then say, oh, it's not that fancy.
I think Fuzzy has a point there.
Yeah. So Fuzzy, what is your favorite dessert?
Does it have to exist?
No, it doesn't have to exist.
Well, in that case, some kind of Black Forest Gâteau cheesecake, because I adore cheesecake, but also, you know, Black Forest Gâteau.
That sounds really good.
Something like that. It has to exist.
It could have like the Black Forest like crust, maybe, with cheesecake.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like the fruit on top and then like a hard chocolate underneath.
Maybe I should try making that one day. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. You might actually know what this is, Akita. There's some sort of liquor that we had to put in, cherry liquor.
Yeah, it was a Kirsch. K-U-R-S-H, I think.
Yeah, if you're talking about Black Forest Gâteau, you use Kirsch Schnaps, which is basically distilled. Still cherry wine. You make cherry wine and then you distill it and you get some high voltage spirit with fine cherry aroma. And you sprinkle that on the chocolatey sponge cake before you put on the cherry marmalade and the whipped cream. And on the outside, of course, there's I like cooking. Yes? Okay. I like cooking. I admit.
Oh, my God. Can you just keep talking
Lily's
about
over
cooking?
Here getting a case of the vapors because the accent combined with, like, the dessert, she's just, like, losing it.
I love that it because so it's so good. I love cooking. I love baking. I love shows about cooking and baking. So, yeah.
Just the way you described it makes me want this Black Forest cheesecake now.
Yeah. Aww. And now we're all sitting here fantasizing about desserts.
You see what you've done?
This wouldn't be the first time that we've talked about the idea of just transitioning, you know, pivoting the podcast to talk about desserts and that sort of thing. But, you know, since I brought it up, why don't we talk a little bit about sex toys? So you guys own and operate a sex toy store, is that right? Well, not a store,
yes, we
but...
do. Well, it's a shop.
Shop. There you go.
And things are going surprisingly well. I mean, from the first day we opened, we never expected to have like a 100 customers or, you know, whatever. But yeah, things have just been going along, and nothing major has come up in our road as a roadblock. It's freaky. As somebody who's never really been able to hold down a quote unquote proper job, it is remarkable to be able to say, oh yeah, I kind of co-own this business and it's doing pretty well.
Well, that
makes me actually
awesome.
Really curious, though. How did you guys even get started or think, gee, I want to start making sex toys, you know? How did that come up?
Right. Maybe that's something, that's a story that I should tell, I think.
Yeah.
I'm a tinkerer, you know, I'm to do stuff with my hands, like to tinker with stuff, take apart machines, repair cars, that kind of thing. And a long time ago, 20 years, I think, there was this an American company who started making animal-type fantasy dildos. And they were really, really bad because they made them from the really old vinyl type that stinks and sweats plasticizer. Wow. They basically were the first ones who actually made it. They were before Bad Dragon came on the market, and it was extremely expensive to import these to Germany because of customs and because international payments weren't. This was before PayPal, of course. International payments were really complicated, and I started. I was a poor student. I didn't have money, so I started to think about how to copy these. Not for other people, not to sell them. Mm-hmm. So I basically started bootlegging dildos, and while this never was pretty really successful, it gave me a lot of experience in making molds and casting rubbers. I wasn't working with silicone back then. I was actually making my copies from polyurethane, and It was great fun. I just did it in my kitchen and messed around with latex and polyurethanes and stuff. And life changed, and this whole thing went to the back burner. There were a couple of moves and stuff. And then there came the maker revolution, and 3D printers became available. And of course, I had to get a 3D printer. And once I had a 3D printer, of course, I had to make dildos. Because what do you buy a 3D printer for if not for printing dildo shapes? And while I am really good at tinkering and repairing and stuff like that, I have no artistic talent whatsoever. I can't make 3D models. So I was for a poor chap who I could enslaved to make models for me, and then I met Fabi. I think we met by perchance in some other artist's Picato stream. I'm not sure anymore, but in the end, I just asked him, "Say, can you make 3D models?" And he said, "Yeah, sure. Yeah, go." Right.
So you sure you didn't ask like, "Hey, can you make me a dick?"
Basically, that's what I asked.
Well, at the time, I was kind of tinkering. Well, not tinkering, but trying my best to make money any way I could. So I would draw, you know, write for commission. And the 3D building was just fun for me. So when this random massive furry came to me and said, like, "Hey, so, you know, those 3D models you've been tinkering with, have you ever thought about maybe making a dick?" I was like, "Fuck yeah, make a dick." So I did, and it was terrible. It was it was absolutely an atrocity.
Yeah, it was.
But Aki didn't give up.
Neither did you.
Yeah, but to be fair, I'd use a mentor. But from there, he was like, "Well, it looks, it certainly is a thing. How about you try these slightly different techniques and methods?" And we just grew from there.
That's, so do you have a background maybe, in... Oh, I'm sorry.
Important thing. I said before that I have no artistic talent. This is true. But you don't have to be a cook to know that the soup is too salty.
Mm-hmm. So true.
And you made quite clear that it was too salty. One thing I highly value about you, Aki, is your German efficiency at communication. If you don't like something, you'll tell me exactly why you don't like it.
It's the only way to communicate. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Aki, you might not be aware, I'm actually autistic. So, apparently also my family is originally from Germany way, way, way back. So I have some of that efficiency too.
Oh my God, it's so annoying sometimes.
Very good. It makes life easier. I think if somebody comes to me and wants me to do something, I'd rather like that person to tell me what he wants and why, and then I can do it or tell him to fuck off.
That is why I handle the public relations.
I could just, but then again, if your customers knew that you guys have such sexy voices, they may not be so sad to hear, you know, a German accent say, go fuck off.
He is remarkably good at conferences and face-to-face meets. It's spectacular to see what he can get people to do just by asking. I mean, tell me you don't feel like doing anything that voice asks you to do.
Oh, yeah. Ask away.
Yeah, that's true.
See, there you go.
So Fuzzy, you may have mentioned it, but do you had some sort of prior experience in 3D modeling?
Yes and no. I never touched a 3D printer because I was from a lower income family and that was more of a pipe dream. But I found this program years and years and years ago called Wings 3D, which is the least user-friendly program I think I've ever used. But I got used to it somehow and I just started making small, stupid, intricate things for basically no reason. So that kind of gave me the head start that I needed years later to actually start making proper models. And then, of course, Akila said, hey, why don't you use this less shit program? like these other programs will actually make it easier. And I was like, oh, shit, I don't have to do everything by individually selecting each face and moving it manually and all of that.
I went through that with game modding. So when I had started, I used this program. It was, I can't remember what it was called. It was built specifically for a particular game I played called Carmageddon. And you had to place every single point manually, and then you had to actually define each face by selecting them in a clockwise order. If you went counterclockwise, the face would be backwards. You had to do that for the entire model. Huge pain in the butt. And then when I learned about things like Blender and Max 3D, I was like, holy crap, what have I been doing in my life?
Yes, it's like, what have I been missing out on? Good God. As a mild aside, Carmageddon, one of the best games ever made.
Oh my gosh. My favorite game of all time. I play it all the time. So back in those days, I used to go by Max Driver 13, and I used to do all sorts of mods for Carmageddon 2.
Well, shit, we should get together at some point. You can show me how to run the game on a modern PC.
Yeah, absolutely. And the new one that they came out with, the Kickstarter, is really good too.
Oh, shit.
Oh, if you didn't know about that, it's excellent. Made by the same people. And they redid like all the levels and stuff in modern technology. It's excellent.
Oh, so it's kind of like that Quake remake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or bullshit. Toe Jam and Earl is the other.
Oh
one.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a new.
I've got to. I've got to keep an eye out for these things now. You've given me a list of things to look up.
Carmageddon's top priority, though, because they did really good with that.
I agree, but I love Toe Jam and Earl. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's so
good. I mean, the music was the funkiest thing I've ever heard.
And Toe Jam and Earl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the modern one, they did really good with that one, too, with the music.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, video games.
It brings us all together.
So that first toy that you did, Fuzzy, what was it modeled after a particular creature, animal, fantasy, or was it just like a plain Jane dick? Or you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it definitely wasn't human, but I didn't have enough experience at that point to actually think of a creature that it would be based on. So I just kind of started making shapes and then was like, hey, this kind of looks a bit like a plant. So I'll just call it a plant thing.
Oh, cool.
An unreasonably wide base with sharp faces and a bulb at the top. And it was just really bad.
So is it Akita comes up with the ideas and then tells you, and then you then go back to your 3D print, design and figure it out?
Okay. Sometimes I just, you know, we definitely need a, or whatever. And yeah. Quite often, Fuzzy just gets bored sitting at home and he just starts playing around. And then out of the blue, he says, I made a thing, and then comes out a marvelous shape.
So you're saying when Fuzzy's bored, he sits there and plays with his dicks?
Don't be off.
That would be accurate, yes.
That is one way of going about it, or going for it. Sometimes we talk about what we have and what we might need to our lineup more diverse. So people we hear people talking about toys and they say, oh yeah, I would love to have a really long sleek toy to do that depth training. Or some other people say, oh yeah, I need a short thick toy because I'm not that deep, but I want to be stretched, and so on. And then we look at our lineup, and sometimes we find that we don't have the general shape that that people require to have, and then we think about how to make a toy, to make a shape that would fulfill these desires.
I love that. The creative process that makers go through to, you know, create these beautiful, wonderful toys is always interesting for me. I love it.
It's like agile for dicks.
Well, and you've partnered at different times with some other things, because I know you have a feline and a couple of toys that are the PsyCorp. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you do that often, or is that just kind of a one-time thing, or?
Well, more often than not, either Aki or I will talk to somebody and it turns out that they're an artist, and sometimes it'll turn out that they're actually a pretty big time artist, and they're like, yeah, I really like, you know, drawing dicks and drawing characters and stuff. And then we just sort of sidle into the conversation with, yeah, wouldn't it be great if you could have that dick in your hands in real life? Yeah. If only there was some kind of person out there who could do that point. And in the case with PsyCorp, Akila actually knew him, I think, as a personal friend.
Back in the day, I was for about 2 years or so, I was quite active on Second Life, and this was way back again when Second Life was just starting off, and I met Seastorm, Psystorm, and we got talking and back and forth, and we actually met later on at a con. Mm-hmm. Met at cons ever since, and occasionally had a beer. We were on friendly terms from the beginning, and when we started that toy making stuff, I was thinking that was one of the first things that came to my mind, that this guy was making bits for Second Life avatars, and he basically had all the 3D models already on his machine. The only thing that would be needed was to get them, print them, and make them into silicone. So at a con, I sat beers with him, and I said, you know, how would you like to virtual dicks exclusively, but through us make actual physical from them? And he said, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And so we partnered up at that point and started exporting virtual dicks from Second Life into First Life into the shop chats. And that partnership hasn't ended. I desperately need to make and make a mold of it and stuff, but it's tricky. And this is another thing. I get easily frustrated. I sometimes get frustrated, and I'm one of these guys in video games who rage quit. You know, if something is not running or going the way I want, I try it a couple of times, and then at some point I just say, oh, fuck it, and throw it in the corner and won't touch it for a year or so, because I need to out of my system first before I start. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm behind on the Psystorm and Psycorp thing, and I need to get behind. And
it's, in a lot of ways, that ability to actually like know when to stop and stop working on something for a while is, I envy that, because I have the problem where this isn't working and I'll dig in more, right? And like, if I stepped away from it for a bit, maybe oh, don't stare at me like that, Lily. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
If I stepped away from it for a bit, maybe like I'd be able to come back and like, you know, have a little bit more clear head on it. But I'll just like burn myself to the ground trying to get an idea.
And mind
out
you,
there.
He will still be completely frustrated and angry at every little sound that anything in the room makes.
Yeah, and I'm much the same way. Like, if something isn't quite working, I will just keep on going. Yeah.
At some point, I have actually learned to stop banging my head against the wall when I have a headache. So
I admire that. It's pretty smart.
That's a good thing.
The other thing you need to tell us about is your enormous dragon, Kyorg. Am I saying that right? Like, it is so beautiful with all those spikes. And I know you've been working on that. And I'd love for you to tell listeners a little bit about what's been going on with that.
You handle the Kyorg whole thing.
That's my cue again. this toy has a very interesting history. I met that toy first at a con because some friends had it with them. This thing in my hand, and said, "Wow, what a great shape!" And I started asking around, who made this thing? Where does it come from? And turns out the thing was made by a guy called Nameless Angel on Fur Affinity, who is also a toy maker in England. And he basically does it as a hobby. He is a he has studied to become a sculptor, and he works in clay. So he makes his original models the really classical way by working with clay, dipping everything by hand, mm-hmm. then makes a mold from that. And of course, the original model, the clay model, is lost when you make the mold. Mm-hmm. And was a shape that he made as a commission for a guy whose character is called Kyorg. And he never really was lucky with that, because apparently there were only 5 copies made before the mold was destroyed.
Oh, wow.
So basically on the 5th of that toy, the mold broke, and Nameless Angel couldn't make a new mold, because that would have meant remodeling that thing.
Yeah, it would never be exactly the same.
Hmm.
Point, he said, all right, I'm abandoning this shape. And I started talking to Nameless Angel, and I said, you know, it's such a shame that this great shape isn't available anymore. and if he would be okay if we picked it up. If you can manage to do that, sure, go ahead. Just credit me and everything's fine. But you need to talk to the guy with character as well. So we talked to the whose character this is, and he was ecstatic because he said, oh yeah, there need to be more people being fucked by me. And,
oh, that is sexy.
I say that all the time.
So I borrowed that one I knew somebody I knew had scan of it, and then we took that 3D scan and Fuzzy took it and basically remodeled the shape in the computer based on that 3D scan. And we did some modifications. The original shape by Nameless Angel had huge balls, and he is a beast. I mean, that's 2.6 kilos of silicone in that shape. And the balls would have added another 1.5 kilos. He decided that we would castrate that dick and make it more accessible from the cost point of view, because silicone doesn't grow on trees. You have to buy it, and if I have to buy it, I have to sell it to you, and you have to make you pay for it. So less silicone on the toy, a cheaper toy in general. And we went through several iterations, and there were intense talks with Nameless Angel, who made the original shape, and Kyok, character owner. Mm-hmm. We came to an agreement, and what you see now is the result.
Yeah, and for listeners who aren't familiar with this, this is a really large toy. So it's almost 17 inches. It's 16 and a half inches. It's 15 of usable length. And the diameter is 4.3.
Pansy it poopers is, need not apply.
But yeah, it is a monster. Yeah. The smallest diameter on it, it goes from 2.7 to 4.3. It's enormous. So if you were a size queen, this is going to be a fun challenge for you.
I do have to say, though, with that, the picture that's on their website, the colors, it just reminds me of Spyro so much. I love it.
Yeah. Aki is a dab hand with pigmentation. He makes some stunning toys.
Oh, I love this.
And I actually wanted to ask you about that. You know, I just saw you guys tweet something recently that you said you'd found a new process or something, and you had these like really beautiful stripes on a toy. And I know mm-hmm. you can't tell us, you know, any trade secrets, but we're a little bit curious if you can tell us anything about what's going on there.
Yeah, well, it's actually pretty simple. I basically make two batches of silicone, different colors. And then it's just the way how to pour it into the mold. And this pattern will come out.
It's beautiful.
I'm not going to tell you how to pour it into the mold, but it is just the way how you pour it, and then this pattern comes out. I basically, this by accident the first time I did it, and then I tried it again, and I found that I can do it with some kind of reproductibility. And still it by hand, and I cannot make exact copies. This is not an industrial process where every is the same. But the general idea is there, and I can properly reproduce it to a certain degree that you can, to a degree enough that you can say, oh yeah, it's that pattern again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the one that I'm looking at right now that was on your Twitter, that's the green one with the blue. It looks like feathers almost. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
This is the definition of a happy little accident.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, indeed.
Is that how you discover most of your things, or did you like have some kind of training to teach you how to pour and create effects? You know, it's kind of difficult to find information about toy making to some extent. I'm just kind of curious there too.
It's all developed on my own. I of course Google. I look at YouTube, but the actual processes that I use, I developed on my own. Developed myself, tried stuff, thought about stuff, how stuff could work, tried it, failed, tried again, and there's 2 or 3 or 5 years of development and experience gathering in this. And I'm counting my dildo bootlegging phase into that, because that gave me a lot of experience in such basic things, how to component materials, how to measure and weigh, to estimate volumes and stuff like that, how to make molds, and how to not make molds, even more importantly. but yeah, it's this isn't magic, but there's to try it out, and you have to learn, and you have to train how to do it in a certain way as well, because some point you have to get it done, and then you can't dawdle around and think, was that 250 or 520 grams I need to put in there? And so there's a lot of try and error involved.
So I mean, a lot of it is, like he says, expertise and training and such, but there are, if you go on Telegram, for example, there's groups like the Cocksmiths groups, where experienced cocksmiths such as Aki here and Varka, and you know, people from Xenocat Creations, who I know that you're quite fond of, different people come together to kind of compare not specific things, so that obviously we can each have our own individual specialities, but a lot of people come in there completely new to the cocksmithing world, and they learn a lot from the experience of other people there. Like it's not an industry where people will try and fuck you over. Basically, we're all really surprisingly friendly with one another, and sharing information and sometimes techniques is not frowned upon. It's remarkably open, and I just love it.
And Akita, you said before earlier in the podcast that you don't think you have any artistic talent, but just by pouring these toys, that shows some of your artistic talent, especially with how you're getting these beautiful stripes and colors and everything. That's art.
I might accept being called an artisan, actually an artist, because what I do is craft, a good craftsman creates beautiful objects, and not like painting a picture. I'm not standing in front of a blank canvas, and when I leave, there's a mountain lake and snow-covered mountains on that canvas. Sure, there is a certain amount of creativity involved, and of course there are orders where it says surprise me, and I think, okay, let's try something new. What good? And then I try something, and sometimes it's horrible. And sometimes it's something like that medium Kyok with the blue and green stripes comes out. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm rolling the dice, and the wins I keep. Wins we don't talk about.
We haven't had somebody complain about their surprise me yet, so I think you're doing a pretty good job.
Should try harder to fail.
But you know, even in those times when you fail, that's, I think, sometimes when you find the most amazing like creations. You're like, I never thought of this.
Yes, of course. And error. And if you I need to quote Adam Savage here, who I greatly admire, by the way. Failure is always an option. Mm-hmm. If you keep that in mind, you get much less afraid of trying new things, because failure, if in doing something or trying something, information that you can use, because to not do that again. But it also, if you think about it and if you analyze what you did and how it came out, show you new doing things in a different way that then will work. And yeah, that's basically what I like in tinkering and in making things and in experimenting with things. Because this process of developing a solution for a problem is exciting, and it's fun, and it's mm-hmm. it's something that makes me feel good.
So I'm curious too. I know on your website you talk a little bit about both being furries, and we have a lot of furries in our listenership here. And I'm wondering, did that come first, or did that come after the toy making? And how does it sort of interweave with what you do?
Well, as Aki kind of pointed to earlier, we did, I think, meet through a furries Picato stream. So we've definitely been furries for a long time before making toys. So I think it was kind of a given that when we did start making toys, we explicitly started right. as a furry company.
Yeah, I've been a furry since now 24 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a gray muzzle. I'm really old and stuff, you know. this was, again, way back, 1998 stuff, when the internet was out of its shell. I actually started with BBS systems, and because internet wasn't available yet in Germany. So, I've always been a wolf, and I've always known that I'm a wolf, and worried why I knew I was a wolf and why that if I was crazy or something was defective. And then I found furries, and that explained everything.
And what about you, Fuzzy? How did you choose your character?
For a long time in my early life, I kind of, flitted around, as you do when you're young, making sparkle dogs and super unique characters that are awesome. But eventually I always seem to just come back to it, just a normal gray wolf, and it just suited me better than anything else. So I guess I found myself.
I can completely understand that, because I kind of went through something similar. We tried a lot of different things for my character, and a doe just fits.
Yeah, you know when you found it.
Mm-hmm.
It took a while, but you found it. So I have to ask there, Mr. Gray Muzzle, did you ever mess around with furry muck?
Interesting story. I've been on furry muck, but I think I spent much more time on SPR, socio-political ramifications, if you remember that one.
Oh, I don't remember. I remember and tapestries and spin dizzy, but
I was on tapestries as well a lot. I think it was on tapestries or on furry muck, I'm not sure anymore, where I met my husband.
I love happy stories.
We were both running around as non-morphic wolves there, and this was rather rare. And the thing that this is a funny little anecdote. So when wolves to suck up to another wolf, they start licking the corners mm-hmm. of the lips, because that is puppy behavior. Basically, puppies do that with their hands to trigger a reflex in them, which makes them barf up food. So this was involved. I'm not going to go into further details, but this was involved. And the fact that this happened got him interested in me because I knew what would happen and I was able to play it out. And we got talking, and some times later we met, and well, the rest is history. We're married today. So,
Aww, well,
that's a wonderful story.
And they are super sweet together. Okay, it gives me diabetes to watch them hang out together. It's terrible.
Were you a wooing?
I was totally a wooing.
Oh boy,
it's so sweet. I love it. So fuzzy. What about you? Do you have a significant other in your life, or I don't know?
I did when I was younger, mostly through the internet, obviously. Being a socially awkward furry wasn't so great with the social circles. But yeah, the things just sort of fizzled out. I've had a couple of partners since then, but I've come to learn that I'm just kind of better by myself. Like, I'm good at helping others in relationships and often being a third wheel, or being like just a third party in general to help smooth things over. Sometimes people aren't communicating properly, or there's something that they're not understanding in their sex life I can help with. And I guess I've just taken on the role of a kind of sex therapist.
A lone wolf sex therapist. I love it.
I like that title. I might have to steal it.
You're more than welcome.
All I can imagine a wolf sex therapist is being like, just not her. Just not her.
Well, not all you have to do is like... What was that?
All you have to do is sniff a butt and then like go from there. What's so difficult about that?
Oh my god. So basically you're saying, what if we ever meet up in real life, you're gonna sniff our butts.
I mean, I'll ask for consent first.
Well, that's probably gonna be the front part of the episode. Oh boy, you're already asking our guests if they're gonna sniff your butt. Nice.
Is that a problem? No. Oh man, so is there anything that you would like our listeners to know about you know, either of you, or about Akifu Toys, or anything?
Well, we do have a couple of kind of, well, one small announcement and one slightly larger announcement. The smaller announcement is that we will be going to Euroference for their second annual After Dark Dealers Den.
So envious.
I want to go to Europe.
When is Euroference?
August 14th until August 18th.
And will you both be there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Just for additional information, Euroference is the biggest furry convention in Europe. This year is going to be the 25th edition of Euroference, so it's been running for 25 years this year. I'm not entirely sure that this is also the longest running, continuously running furry convention worldwide, but it is certainly one of the,
it's gotta be the close.
Longest running, continuously running furry conventions.
I remember hearing about it way back in the Furry Muck days. Yeah, it's definitely a long running one. I've always wanted to go.
Maybe next
always
year.
Wanted to go. Maybe next year I finally get you over to Europe.
Right.
Oh God, I really want to go to Europe so bad.
It's beautiful. It's in the heart of Berlin. It's great culture, great people. The hotel staff are always amazingly friendly.
The tough part is like, you know, this being her first trip to Europe, when she comes back, people will be like, oh yeah, what did you see while you were in Europe? They're going to be expecting like, you know.
Well, that just means you have to take 2 weeks off places. Vacation. Like, oh,
I saw one wolf in a fursuit jump on another one. Like, what?
No, we'll just have to take a few weeks. That's all. Just a few weeks off.
Yeah, well, you know, we're from America, so we don't get time off, so forget about it.
It's that damn metric system, I'm telling you.
Freedom units.
Oh, don't get me started.
Please don't get him started. Anytime a customer asks for units in freedom units, then he's always just like, freedom.
I think that's the appropriate response.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to be. The second announcement, other than us attending there, is that we have partnered up with yet another artist, Torrin Fox, if you know who that is.
It sounds familiar.
It does sound really familiar. Well,
yeah, and enlighten us and our listeners.
Well, he's been around for a long, long time. He was my personal hero for much of my early life. But he's been going around in the fandom since 98, I think. One of the biggest artists that I think I've ever heard of. And he puts out animations like Torrin Fox and the Water Tentacles or the Milking Machine.
Oh, wow.
Recently he made one.
Fox in the Stable, don't forget.
Of course. Fox in the Stable was unbelievable. Recently he made one starring Kish and a certain toy. So naturally, when we saw that, we thought, yes. we got talking to him, and he's agreed, and Kish has agreed, that we'll be making that toy that you see in the animation.
Ooh.
Oh, no shit.
I've been actually working on the model today. And we are fairly certain that we will be able to release it at Eurofarence. So that toy to make its premiere at Eurofarence.
Premiere.
Got me all off.
I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, it's hopefully going to be quite the show. And if we can't release it at Eurofarence, then I'm going to have a hard time walking around with one foot, since the other one will be inserted up Aki's ass.
Actually, I do have a question for you related to that. I don't believe I saw any on your store. Have you guys ever considered making a penetrable toy? Uh-oh.
Yes. We have considered that for about 2 years now. Doubt that... really fucking easy, but making one, enormous challenge. I won't go into the details here, but building a mold for a penetrable toy,
complicated,
is complicated to say the least, and it is not something that I shy away from. Rather, it is something that I have been thinking about for a year now, maybe. And that the idea on how to do it is slowly maturing and to fruition. And I'm probably going to start experimenting with some of the ideas I had pretty soon. Mm-hmm. There's no telling on how long it's going to take.
Sure.
Till I got that down, till I got that working in a way that I say, okay, says allows me to make penetrables. With reasonable effort and time investment, because I can't, says that basically takes a day to make a penetrable.
Right, and then the problem is if something goes wrong with that pour, you've lost that time investment, and it tends to be, from what I understand, usually more silicone than a regular penis-like toy. So
I don't have a development department where I can say, here, look, go and find that out. It's me, and I have to split my time between and fulfilling customer orders, making new molds for new models, and experimenting and developing stuff. And sometimes it's not easy to find the right balance, and Fuzzy of course wants me to go and get that done, but he also wants me to get that Dragon Rider toy done, and he also wants me to get the 17 other shapes we have in our queue done, and he also wants me to get the orders done, and at some point I also want to sit down and have a beer.
No beer for you.
Well, so, I appreciate that you have a lot of things to do, but I will throw my two cents in the ring. I'm a huge fan of penetrables, and I would also very much like to see one from you guys at some point, time willing.
As long as he gets a beer first.
Well, I will send beer. I will ship beer there. Of course, it makes no sense to ship beer from the U.S. to Germany.
Considering Germany has some of the best beers in the world.
So I'm just a little bit surprised because that penetrables are so hard to make, because I know you have a wearable sheath, which are so much less common. And I assumed that like penetrables would be way easier than a sheath. So I'm like, wow, was maybe the sheath just a really difficult thing? Because you only have one, I think, at this time. So
first of all, we can make half into a sheath. So this is one thing. We make custom toys. Every order that we get is basically a custom, because the customer can choose everything about the toy, color wise. We also make full custom toys. So if you say I have this shape in my mind and I want it as a toy, we can do that. It's going to be expensive. It's going to take a long time, but we do that. In a sheath. First of the cavity is not sculpted. It right. is basically just a cylinder shaped cavity inside the toy. The interface between the base of the toy and the cavity is not sculpted at all. It's just that a hole. And the transition of the inside of the toy to the outside of the toy to be sculpted and beautiful and nice. And this is where the problem lies.
Ah.
Because you can't have a seam surface and the outside surface. You have to find a way to make that transition seamless. And this is where the rubber meets the road. And this is the problem that needs to be solved. And this is the problem I'm working on solving.
Ah, that makes sense.
Well, I look forward to the day that it is solved, because I like sticking my dick in things. Oh. That's why I made a podcast about it.
Oh, God, I love it.
So, guys, thank you for coming on the show. If our explorers wanted to buy some of your toys and check out your stuff and check you out on social media, where could they go?
Well, they can go to our Twitter account, which is actually pretty active, akifu_toys. They can go to our website, which is either akifutoys.com or .net. And our store on Etsy is Akifu Toys.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And now it is time to go to our Race to the Gutter segment. Is everyone ready?
Yep. I'm ready.
All right. So the phrase that we have chosen for this time around actually came, thank you to our guests for pointing us to, what is it called? Google Whack a Google? What's it? Google Whack.
Google Whack.
Google Whacking. See, I think Google Whacking is like when you just use like the Google image search to find an image that you're going to jerk off to. That's what I call Google
See,
Whacking.
Google Whacking to me, I keep thinking of like, you know, when you're trying to hit those...
Oh, I'm feeling lucky button?
No, the little toys that pop up that you always try and win me.
Oh, like a...
Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-mole. You're like whacking all the Google search results. Yeah. Got it. anyway, so the term slash phrase that we have to define today is Doggo Spacefarer.
I have something
to go
for this.
First. Oh, all right.
Oh, go ahead if you have something.
Sorry to kind of jump the gun there, but... Okay, so a Doggo Spacefarer is where you have a partner in a sex sling, blindfolded, and you have sex doggy style, but they're suspended and they're blindfolded, so to them it feels like they're in space.
I love
it. Ooh, I love that one. Oh, that's creative.
Yeah, well,
I like it.
So my interpretation is it's actually a toy.
Oh,
it's a toy. And it's a big one,
of course. And
can expand. So what it actually does is it creates space in you, and it explores that space. So it's a doggy shaped spacefarer that explores space.
And it has to have a knot, of course.
Well, the knot's expanding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I like it.
I love that.
That's great,
Kit. What about you?
Okay, well, maybe this was just inspired because we have some wolf furries here, but I saw Doggo Spacefarer and I thought about some yiffy kind of comics. And I thought, you know, if you have a canine character who is like nodding and you know, he comes like he's so hard it shoots into space, that's Doggo Spacefarer.
So, nice one. I'm going to go out on a complete crazy limb here and say Doggo Spacefarer is when you have two furries that actually end up becoming astronauts going up in space, and they have doggy style in space.
Doggy style in space. But they have to be furries. Apparently.
But they have to be furries.
All right.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
So usually I'm the one that has a crazy idea, but I'm actually going to go pretty simple this time.
Whoa, we switched.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to go with, you know, very popular, the doggy style, like you said. But you're having doggy style sex, and you're both wearing space helmets.
I think out of all of them, that is the most cost effective.
This doesn't involve actually going to space.
You have no idea how much space helmets cost, do you?
Well, I was imagining like, you know, fake plastic ones or something.
Yeah,
like
I'm sure you could get them at like a toy store or something.
Like Astro Boy space helmets.
Oh my god. Oh man, do we all just show our age in that one?
Houston, we have a condom.
Well, that might go on the front.
On that note,
oh, that's awesome.
I'm shutting this podcast down. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us. You guys have been
great.
Thanks
for having us. Thank you guys so much.
So good to have you guys.
You've been listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends about the podcast, join us on Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and Reddit. And just a note on Telegram, we've actually refined the way that we have people come into the chat, so it's now much easier, much more streamlined process. And in fact, if you just go to chat.trisexualsmedia.com, you will be able to join us right away. Just tell us your favorite dessert, and you'll be able to talk with us and other toy makers and make a lot of new friends. Links and other information can be found in the show notes. I'm Max Chameleon. One small step for Space Doggo, one giant cum for canine kind.
I'm Lily Chameleon. Forget the meet and greet. I prefer the sniff and meet.
And I'm Kit. Ask not what you can do for Space Doggo, ask what your Space Doggos not can do for you.
Thanks, guys.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
Love you.